A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that moment. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
It is good to be back in this pulpit. Sabbatical was a great gift to me and to my family. And I'm very grateful for the time away and also grateful for the warm welcome home. Very warm. Like 110 degrees warm today in Fort Worth. Thank you very much. Global climate change is affecting us all. And even my old church up in Vermont has gone and got air conditioning. I told them, "Do you know how much better my sermons would have been with air conditioning? And do you, Broadway, know how much worse my sermons would be without it?" Anyway, I'm glad to be back in this place with air conditioning and in this pulpit with my little fan that helps me keep all of the hellfire and brimstone at bay. Let's get at it. The sermon title today is Crossing the Border. Because that is what Jesus has done in the text. He's crossed the border out of the traditional tribal land of Israel and into the region of Tyre and Sidon. Some speculate Jesus too had gone on sabbatical. Even so, he was approached by a Syrophoenician, or Matthew's version says, Canaanite woman, whose daughter was tormented by a demon. And it is here that something, well, quite controversial happens. Or at least my interpretation is controversial. The last time, in fact, this lesson appeared in the lectionary, we had a visitor up and leave right during the middle of the Sunday sermon, then write a scathing email to me on Monday morning. They said that they knew they didn't want to be at such a radically liberal place like Broadway anyways. And I wondered to myself, well, then why in the world did you come looking to be offended? Because if you're looking for a reason to be offended, I'm pretty sure that you will find a reason somehow, some way. If you are visiting here today, and here with an open heart, an open mind, and not just here to be offended, and I want you to know that all I am trying to do this morning is deal honestly with this text. What Jesus says and does here with this foreign woman is a challenge to the church's Christology. In other words, it's a challenge to what we believe about both his divinity and also his humanity. As Barbara Lundblad says, we may believe that Jesus was truly human, but we don't want him to be too human. Jesus is on sabbatical. This foreign woman comes with her tormented daughter, and Jesus gives an all too human response. He ignores her at first, then when she won't go away, he essentially calls her an animal, telling her that it is not fair to take what belongs to the children and give it to the dogs. Some try to mitigate this epithet by explaining that he was referring to a little house pet. But I don't think that helps. Jesus was on vacation in a foreign land. He was approached by a foreign woman whose child was tormented by a demon. At first, Jesus turned his back, telling his disciples he had come only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then when the woman persisted, he told her that it is not fair to take the food from the children and give it to animals. It is not only challenging, it's problematic. Whenever I read this story, I always think of the story Maya Angelou tells in I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, of when she had a terrible toothache as a little girl and the nearest Negro dentist was 25 miles away in Texarkana, too far for her family to walk without a car. Her grandmother tried to take Maya to see the white dentist in town who told them that he didn't treat black people. When Maya's grandmother pressed him, he then had the temerity to tell them that it was his policy that he'd rather, in his words, stick his hand in a dog's mouth than in a colored person's. Maya vividly imagined her grandmother having the power to right then and there strip that dentist of his license to practice dentistry and sentence him to a lifelong care of dogs with mange, cats with cholera, and the cows with epizootic. She also made him a vegetarian. Though her grandma did not really have that power, she was able to get the dentist to grant her $10 to take the Greyhound down to Texarkana. The Canaanite woman was just as persistent. When Jesus told her that it's not fair to take what belongs to the children and to give it to the dogs, she reported, "Yes, but even the dogs deserve the scraps that fall from the master's table." And so then we see both her desperation and also her daring. We see her wit and her wisdom. We see her love and her tenacity. She is like the mother of the man in hell whom Chesterton told about. His preacher came and yelled, "Let him out of there." Then his teacher came and did the same. "Let him out of there." It was all to no avail. And finally then the man's mother came and yelled, "Let me in there." This mother in the story was willing to go to hell and back for her child tormented by these demons. And she was willing to be a dog if it meant that her daughter would be healed. As one mother whose son needed money for essential health care services recently told me, "I will beg for mine." This Canaanite mother was begging for hers. And somehow, in that moment, Jesus was moved. And he was moved not only for this one woman, but in fact, he and his whole mission were moved beyond the boundaries of Israel. It soon included not only the children of the house of Israel, but all of the children of the whole region. So then in the very next scene in Matthew, we have the feeding of the 4,000 on the Gentile side of the lake. Just like earlier this summer, we had the feeding of the 5,000 on the Jewish side. And just like when Jesus fed the 5,000 and there were 12 baskets full of bread left over, one for each of the ancient 12 tribes of Israel, so when the 4,000 are fed, there are 7 basketfuls left over. One for each of the nations dispossessed when the Israelites came into the promised land. The Hittites, the Hivites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and yes, the Canaanites. That just sounds good. Harry Emerson Fosdick used to say, "Nobody comes to church wondering whatever happened to the Jebusites." Fair enough. But a Bible scholar does wonder. And playing one on Sundays, I will tell you what happened to the Jebusites' descendants is very important. And it is this: Jesus fed them. Because of this one Canaanite woman's mighty, mighty faith and persistence, Jesus realized that he had come to feed the whole world. And the ancient border was crossed. And the good news of the gospel was proclaimed, where all are welcome and all belong in the beloved community of God. It is no shame for a fully human leader to have to learn and grow and have their field of vision expanded. This story may be a challenge to interpret, but it is no heresy. It is no heresy to say that even the most spiritual among us must at some point in their lives have a sense of their humanity broadened. A trip across a border can sometimes do that. It can open our hearts and open our minds. I'm thinking of Malcolm X, who left for Hajj angry and embittered by white America, but who, after a profound religious experience in Mecca, returned speaking of the universal brotherhood of humanity, seeing that if white Americans could accept the oneness of God, then perhaps we too could accept the reality of the oneness of humanity. In this border woman, Jesus saw the oneness of all motherhood, and also the oneness of all of the children of God. So then, as the scriptures say, he grew. He grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all humankind. So must we. So must we. As I close this morning, I'm going to risk, as we like to say, going from preaching to meddling. Nobody has walked out yet this morning, so far as I can tell. And I hope you will hear me out on what I have to say next also. We have a humanitarian crisis on our border in Texas. Our state's government has put up razor wire in the Rio Grande River to deter refugees from crossing over, and they've removed water caches in the deadliest part of the summer. And children have died because of these actions. Children whose lives and families have been tormented by demonic cartels and gangs in their own countries, and whose parents are desperate. Desperate to see them to safety. This is why they keep on coming. This is why those parents persist in trying to get to America in order to be granted asylum. They persist in spite of even our often very, very cruel and callous efforts to stop them. As I said, it is a humanitarian crisis, and we, like Jesus, have to grow in our compassion and broaden our sense of humanity. Before I left for vacation, there was a well-publicized letter from a Department of Public Safety officer who is deeply, deeply troubled by what our state is doing. They talked about the children who are being put at risk by our government's actions, and they said this: "I believe we have stepped over a line into the inhumane. We need to operate correctly in the eyes of God. And we need to recognize that these people, are made in the image of God and need to be treated as such." God does not see the same boundaries we see. God is no respecter of these same boundaries. God is no respecter of these same borders. God's children, made in God's image, are all over the earth, and God loves all the children of the world. Jesus loves all the little children of the world too. And let us remember, it was the persistence of this one foreign woman on the border who demanded that he discover that love within himself and share it with her demon-tormented daughter. Isn't that what all these other parents on the border are doing also? Demanding persistently, demanding our love and our care for the sake of their children. So let us dare not do what so many so-called Christians do, which is celebrate the Syrophoenician woman's faith in Jesus in Bible times while denigrating the faith of all of the other mothers and fathers who won't take no for an answer in our times either. For there is plenty enough love and resource in America to feed and take care of all of those seeking safety and refuge on all our borders, with scraps and scraps and scraps and heapings of baskets full of scraps left over. Enough for all the children of all the world. This is the gospel of grace, if we would put it into practice. And as we said earlier, then on that day, all the nations would rejoice. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say, Amen.